Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Culp. As always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, what's up, man?
Yep, just another beautiful morning. And good day to drink coffee. And
always a good day to drink coffee.
Talk about stuff.
So this is the first show with that, with the new intro music. I'm excited about it, man. One of my friends, you know, I think I may mention that, a colleague that I worked with, I sent him the mix, and he actually brought me in. And you know, I think it took about an hour, like 8 takes or something of me doing the intro. So, I'm really excited about it. I hope our listeners enjoy it.
So guys, don't worry. You didn't tune into the wrong podcast.
That's true. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. What is this?
Yeah. And new artwork.
What is it? Who are these guys?
They've repainted the room. So, listeners, this is, listeners that are regulars to the show, this is basically our relaunch. Listeners, if you're new to the show, we have an archive of 64 episodes that you can go back and listen to. I say archive, I guess it'd be more of like a library. I haven't technically archived anything.
Library.
But no, we just kind of wanted to up our game, you know, in terms of podcast marketing. But Brad, I want to talk real quick and just kind of get the listeners in on our thoughts here.
And I talk real slow.
What, like, to you, what was kind of like the attraction of chasing the idea of doing a relaunch?
Well, I tell you, like, when you started messing around with, like, the graphics and stuff and started sending that, I was like, you know what? This is kind of cool. Kind of like, had it sink in a little bit. So if you're like me and you're out there and you're like, no, you can't change stuff. You change stuff, guys. I don't like it. Please bear with us. I feel you. So, you know, my first inclination was I like things the way they are. But as you were sending, you know, some ideas and throwing those things around, I'm like, okay, I really do like this. And then when I was looking at it next to, you know, what we have, I was like, oh, I really do like this a lot better.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, that's the thing. Anytime we can take something that's good already and make it better, you know, why not? That's a no-brainer, right?
Right.
Especially and if DJ does the work.
That's exactly right.
He did the recording. He did the rewrite. He's done the graphics. Like, my job has just been like, yeah, don't hate it. Okay. Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah, let's go with that. Silent partner.
That's exactly right. Yeah, for me, listeners, what I really want to do, Brad and I both, we want to make the podcast just have a bigger audience, or at least put ourselves in a position that would lend itself to do that. You know, and in the marketing world, you know, in the public eye, if you don't have the flashiest thing, then you may not be first pick. And I don't care personally about having the flashiest thing. You know, I'm not going to hire, you know, like an outside agency to
do a bunch of all of that stuff. But and another thing that I wanted to do, Brad, was for, you know, and you and I, we talked and we toyed around with the idea of maybe even changing the name of the podcast, but I definitely wanted to redo the dialogue intro just to kind of make it very clear that any and all are encouraged, you know, to check out the podcast and listen to it. Clearly that's actually already the case. But that was kind of another purpose behind it.
Did you know the etymology of the word podcast? Because I didn't know.
Yes. Perfect sense. And I want to say was it Steve Jobs?
Well, I didn't look about. I'm just like where it came from. The term podcast.
So I know the cast means broadcast, but I'm trying to remember what pod stands for.
iPod.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, an iPod broadcast. Yeah, that's right. Which is hysterical because on the RSS readout, like actually, you know what? I don't know how many people do listen to this on their phone. Maybe it is the bulk of people listen to this on their devices. I know I listen to podcasts all the time off my phone. But back in the day, that would have been an iPod for sure. All right. Well, welcome listeners to the Men Church Stuff iPod broadcast.
Yeah. Let's just stick with that one just, with yeah, podcast. Right. Yeah, Let's yeah, not change yeah. that part.
Brad, I wanted to talk today about something that may actually, I'm just gonna be honest, because I've never had a conversation like this with you before, not that I can remember. Mm-hmm. But I definitely assume that this is going to be a relatively foreign topic to many of our listeners, or at least to some of them. But in the world of the arts, capital A, right? So music, dance, theater, and visual art. The realm of creativity, by and large, is just sort of assumed. Whether you're inside or outside of it, you know, but, and I would even say that creativity in the world of visual art extends itself into architecture, you know, so, engineering would be a part of that as well. So what about the world of living as a Christian who is creative? Mm-hmm. Let's start here. Have you ever had moments of like clear creativity and did you see it as contributing in any way towards your understanding of a Christian walk?
Okay. So creativity is such a big word.
It is. Like, you're exactly right.
Talking about like the arts, like, okay, music and people who are, you know, can draw well and those kind of things. I don't fall strongly in that category. Where my creativeness comes is with illustrations and examples. And so like, especially as a youth pastor, I think, you know, I was constantly coming up with ideas for games, ideas for illustrations, ways that I could help embed in their mind, mm-hmm. the point that I was making, you know, the point the Bible was making through whatever we were studying. Yeah. You know, so I mean, here's one of the craziest examples. I get a little bit crazy with my creativity. I went and bought a pan from the Dollar Tree. And at that time, Dollar Tree actually sold cat litter. So I bought a dollar's worth of cat litter. Uh-huh. And I bought some Tootsie Rolls. Dollar worth of Tootsie Rolls, so three bucks. Actually, I got a scoop too, so $4. You know, right? Four bucks at the Dollar Tree.
And let's just go ahead and connect the dots there. Got it? Okay.
Yeah. So, but I also went and got like a $5 Starbucks gift card, and I hid that at the bottom, poured litter over it.
Yeah.
Messed with these Tootsie Rolls.
So they went, dude.
put a little water here and there, you know, so it clumped up. And so here I had this litter box, and you know, but part of the point, if I remember correctly, was like you sometimes you got to go through a lot of junk to get to the good stuff, and you got to kind of be willing to move that junk out of the way
Well done.
to get to the good. And so, you know, it was like the first one to be willing to kind of dig through there and get to the bottom got the Starbucks gift card.
Right.
Again, there was no actual nastiness in there. It just looked that way. It was clean water. It was clean litter. It was Tootsie Rolls that I had warmed up a little bit and shaped into things. You know, stuff like that. I mean, that's where my creativity goes. It's not always gross, but I mean, when you're working with youth, that helps.
Yes, it does. Absolutely, it does. Yeah,
But
because yeah, because youth are weird.
so in that way, I think that's one of the things, though, that my mind works a lot of times in illustrations. That's like I'm thinking about different ways how this is, you know, it's relating these things, which helps me, I think, as someone who preaches and teaches,
Right.
help people understand things. Again, I like so for me as a Christian, how does that play in? Well, it's a gift that God has given me, and if I can use that with thanking Him for it, realizing that hey, I didn't come up with this brain, He did. Now I've affected it positively and negatively, but like He gave me this brain, He's given me this ability, so I should use it for His glory and use it to lift up and encourage others. And so I think that way with creative stuff. Like if you're a really talented musician, you know, playing music is going to be is a good thing. Just playing music in general, that's good. It's a good thing, right? But if you're using that to glorify God in some way, you know, or to help others and then be uplifting to others, then I think that's, you know, that's right. And I hear this quote is misquoted, so that this guy actually didn't say it, so I won't even mention who it was, but I think that the message of it is good. You know, it's like to if you're a Christian shoemaker, you don't show you're a Christian shoemaker by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good quality shoes.
Dude, that's
And
true.
so I think that is whatever your gifts are, whatever your talents are, that you've been given, that you have honed, how are you using those for the kingdom as a Christian? How are you using those? And that doesn't mean if you're a singer that you necessarily have to sing in church. I know that that's like the A to B. Okay, oh, you're a great singer. You should be in the choir, or you should be on the worship team. Maybe that's not what God's called you to do. Let me give you an example. My wife teaches kindergarten. Your sister, she teaches kindergarten. She loves it. She's amazing with little kids.
Yes, she
But
is.
she does that 5 days a week. Do you know what she does not want to do every week on Sunday? Go teach children Sunday school,
Oh, gosh.
teach
Yeah, no doubt,
children's
dude.
church. You know, now she'll VBS, she'll help and she'll enjoy it and she'll love it because that's a short thing. But like her heart ministry is her work, right? She's doing heart ministry as she's teaching these kindergartners. So her heart ministry in the church is generally, in her case, not children's ministry. You know, she sings on the worship team. She helps in youth Sunday school and those kind of things. And so just, I guess I say that to say, like, just because you're a great musician, you can use that for the glory of God, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it on Sunday morning as part of the worship team. Now, I'm not going to discourage you from that either, because we need good musicians and those kind of things. But again, I don't feel like it, like that's what you have to do. Don't do it out of guilt. That's
Or
as that's me as a pastor. Like, don't
or
come do
maybe
it because you
even
feel guilty about it.
I think that obligation may even play a little bit into the guilt card too. You know, like if I'm good at this, I should be doing this all the time. No, Brad, I appreciated the way that you started out with, the imagery with the Tootsie Rolls and
Any
Cadillacs.
youth pastors out there, feel free to use that.
That's right. You don't even
Like,
have to
I
give
don't have
Brad
any
credit for
copyrights, no
it.
trademarks. You don't even have to give me credit for it. Just
And if you want, and if you want to vary it up, buy a Snickers bar.
yeah,
You know,
right. Oh yeah, get some nuts in there, it'd be great. Just,
So.
if you do use it and you think about it, just drop us a picture.
Oh,
I
yes,
would
please do
love to
that.
know
We will
that.
post the heck out of that. Absolutely, we will.
If you just want to do it at home for your family, I mean, just if you do have cats, you got to do it quick, right? You can't just leave them sitting around, and it totally changes the illustration.
Yes, it does.
This doesn't taste like a Snickers.
Like on Anchorman, you eat the cat poop. So, no, the imagery that the metaphor, the illustration that you created to get that point across. The reason I wanted to talk about this is in my experience, and I think I'm being general, but in my experience, any real conversation on creativity that I've had has generally been, well, I'm not a musician, I don't paint, I don't sing, that people go that route. Or I don't, or again, like engineering, or maybe being an author, I don't write things, I don't write poetry, I don't build things, I don't design things. But I would be willing to absolutely argue that creativity is something that God has absolutely given all of us because he himself is creative. I
Right,
mean,
we're made in his image and his likeness.
yeah,
So
it's exactly right. And so, Brad, you said, and I'm trying to remember, let me pull this verse up. I'm gonna have to search for it. But the verse basically says that some people have been given much faith. Let me pull that up. To some, much faith has been given. Let's see. Here we go. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. What is that? 12:6.
First Corinthians.
Yeah. We have different
I
gifts.
said that for the benefit of the listeners.
Yeah, right. Yeah. First
First
Corinthians,
Corinthians 12.
we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. Teaching, teach. Encourage, encouragement. Giving, give generously. Lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. That's actually not the verse that I was thinking, but I mean, it's definitely certainly related. But the idea is that if in fact we are made in God's image, then all of us have some sort of creative spark. And what I think specifically, because I know how I deal with this in my profession, not in my hobby, but in my profession, as a musician, I think that something that we as humans get caught up in, and probably caught up in really fast, is comparing our creativity, or comparing the result of our creativity, right, the fruits of our labor, to other people that are what we would argue is more creative in the same area as the fruits of our labor. So if I decide, you know what, Brad, I am sick and tired of everything. And I don't do this. So if I ever do this, like I am desperate to try to like empty my mind and de-stress. Okay. I don't ever do this. But if I said I'm done with everything, I just screw it, and I sit down and I start coloring. I don't like doing that with anybody else for the most part. I mean, my kids are an exception, but I really don't enjoy doing that with anybody else because I know for a fact I'm not very good at it. And so to me, as a musician, you know, if I'm playing jazz, if I'm playing funk, what I will oftentimes do is think, I mean, right there in the gig, I will think, how does this sound? Which is what I need to be thinking. But I will also be thinking, okay, how would Philly Joe do this? How would Art Blakey do this? How would Billy Higgins do this? You know, I know that you don't know none of those names,
I
but
don't.
yeah, but like very these very famous jazz drummers, I will oftentimes think, okay, that's not how they would have done this. Should I do it differently? And I think that, again, in the majority of conversations that I've had with people, because there are people out in the world making names for themselves, doing basically, you know, these people's hobbies. Well, I don't need to be creative because these people out here are doing it better. And, you know, if.
So I was going to kind of hit that
Yeah,
a
go
little
ahead.
bit, right? So, you don't color in front of people because you're not very good. So there's that little bit of that self consciousness there,
Yeah.
right? But I'll do it with my kids because my kids aren't going to judge me, and I color better than them at this point, right?
At this point, yeah.
So I think on some level in the church and as Christians, we have to normalize not people being able to not do stuff very well and
Yeah.
that be okay, especially if they're learning. I mean, Hannah is learning to play clarinet. I really like the band director in the middle school. One of the things he said, you know, as Carrie Beth was 8th grade a few years ago, I just remember him saying, hey, they've come a long way since that 6th grade concert, haven't they? Because that's where they start band, you know.
Right. Yep.
So that first 6th grade concert, he's like, you know, we get through that. And then there's a lot of squeaks and there's a lot of bad
Oh,
notes and
dude.
there's a lot
Yes,
of
there
that.
are. Yes,
He said,
there
but we
are.
need that concert, you know, to, yeah, so they can show what they've learned. But we also need that concert so you can come to this concert, you know, in eighth
That's
grade.
right. That's exactly right.
And you can hear how much better they've gotten. So I think one of the things that, you know, there are people that have natural talents. They're naturally good athletes. I don't think anybody just picks up a clarinet and has never done music and then all of a sudden, like, oh, yes, I'm a great clarinetist or whatever.
You would be surprised, but
I
they
may
are,
be surprised.
Brad, they are
But
very few and far between.
yeah, but that's my point.
Yeah.
Like most of us have to, we have to start. And
Yeah,
so
that's right.
let's make it okay to be not very good, at least for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think we also need to be a little, you know, realistic with ourselves. Okay. There's a video of this guy who thinks he can sing really great, and he compares himself to a guy who really can sing really great. And the difference, you know, to everybody else is like, dude, you think you sound like him, but you don't sound like him. I'm
Right.
like, and part of me goes, does this guy not have any friends?
Like
Because I'm going
actually,
like, yeah, because I'm going like, look, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Right. And if you love singing, man, you should do
Right,
it.
yeah.
But you got to quit telling people
Yeah.
that you sound like him because you don't. That's not reality. You don't, man. If you want to sing, that's great. But
Right.
so I think we
And
got to be real, but let's let people do, you know, hey, here's the thing too, DJ, if you color every day, 3 years from now, if we take your coloring page today and we have you do the same coloring page 3 years from now, it's probably gonna be better.
probably.
You color every day.
Well, okay, so I want to kind of pivot here. That
Pivot.
pivot, I know you can't, like anybody who's ever seen the show Friends cannot say that word and not think about it. We were actually moving about this was probably about 6 years ago, and a friend of mine was helping me move. We were on the moving truck and we had the couch. And the couch was starting to get stuck, and both of us were our huge Friends fans, and we looked at each other, and nearly at the same time, we just said pivot. Like, it was magical. But no, I really do want to pivot the conversation. What I think, where I think that you're headed with it is where we typically go with it. The world in the conversation of creativity, I think far too often ends up being a conversation about skill. And I don't necessarily think that being creative means that you have to be skillful. Now, I'm
I
not
think I think you should take your creativity and hone
develops,
it and develop it so that it is more skillful. But no, I get what you're saying.
And I think that that might be one of the reasons why a lot of people, again, in my experience, if the conversation of creativity comes up, anybody that I've talked to that's not directly involved in the arts will more often than not either say I'm not creative, or they just don't contribute to the conversation. And I think it's probably because they don't see themselves being good at anything that they would presume to be creative. So I say I think a lot of times these conversations end up in the world of, well, how good at it are you, as opposed to, are you being creative on any level? And then you're right. Like, I definitely think that there's a clear element that it's an insinuated undertone of your argument, Brad.
It's hard to separate them from the two, but I mean,
But
they're different, but
it's not just skill, but that there's interest. Like, if you want to be creative and then you want to develop your skill in that creativity, then there's something about it that interests you. And
Yeah, Psalm 100 verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands," right?
Yeah, that's right.
You may have the greatest voice ever, and you may hate singing.
I mean, it's possible. You're
And
not
so
wrong.
it may be joyful for everybody else, but it's not making a joyful noise to the Lord because he's looking at your heart. One of my favorite people growing up to hear sing was not a very good singer.
Who?
It's not like it was a guy in my church
Oh,
who
got
would
it. Okay.
sing. And I'm not going to throw his name out there because I just
No,
said he
no.
wasn't a good singer.
I was thinking
But
that it was like a pro
no,
that
but
you
he
know.
sang from the heart.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. Like it was worship when he sang. And
Yeah.
I've heard people sing much better from a quality standpoint, and it just be dead.
Oh,
Like
dude.
there's no joy, there's no worship.
Listeners, I don't know if this is going to come as a surprise to you. It may to some, but there are a lot of musicians that I have played with over the years, and I know that there will be a lot of musicians that I play with in years to come that are fantastic at their instrument. And it's a job. It is a career. It's almost like they have lost, and I'm going to throw this word out there. They've lost the hobby side of it. They've lost the love of it for the pure love of it. Brad, that's actually, and I don't mind saying this, that's actually one of the reasons why I still play in church. Because, dude, sometimes, like right now with the Jackson Symphony, we're in concert season, and with the music department ramping up, I mean, last 2 weeks, I've done a lot of playing. I've still got more to do at the end of this week. There are days where I'm like, man, this is a grind. It's always fun, but it's a grind. And there are some Sundays where I'm like, I just want to sit down in the congregation and sing. But I don't, because I still actually want to, I want to keep the love of what I'm doing as fun, you know? And to me, playing in church is it's wonderful. Yes, it is me. Excuse me. It is me doing what I can as joyfully as I can, and as graciously as I possibly can. But I don't want to lose kind of like the little boy part of me. So anyways, all that to say, so outside of like the sermon illustrations, is there anything that you've experienced in your life where you realized that you were creative at it, but initially did not think you were?
Well, and again, I would take that same creativity outside of just sermon illustrations, because I use it in football, and I use it in teaching my kids and other things. And I do think we got to normalize like the fact that worshiping God with our gifts or our talents is not just on Sunday and Wednesday. And it's not just when we're singing Christian music and doing those things, because I think I like Tim Tebow, regardless of how you feel about him, but like he used his skill as a football player, to glorify God, and to so gosh. So this is where like your sister would come in handy for me, because I tend to really downsize, struggle to downsize those things about myself.
And as you're thinking, Brad, I would actually say that to that point, this is actually one of the reasons why I wanted to have the conversation today. Because I think that a lot of people do not consider things that are, I mean, you can throw out a bunch of words, innovative, unique about themselves that they would categorize as being creative.
So I don't know that I know how to phrase this, which is kind of funny when I say what it is.
Oh, okay.
Now that I think about it. I'm good with words, generally. I know, see, that's a
It, Brad. That's so
how do I
beautiful.
say I
That's
am good
amazing.
with
You're right.
words? The words I is good at the words. I talk to good words. No, not so much talking. I mean, I hope that comes out. Your sister often will write a reply to a parent or a colleague or something, and she's not asking me to proof her grammar, because I'm horrible at grammar. But she's like, "Does this sound all right?" And I'm like, I wouldn't say it this way. I would phrase it this way. It sounds much better when you say this than that. And yeah, a lot of times I'm not thinking about it. It's just like when I read it, I'm like, I would. So sometimes she'll just be like, "Hey, this is what I need to say. Now, tell me how to say it."
That's funny.
Because you're good with that. But I wouldn't have given myself credit for being good at that, but for my wife, keeps saying that.
Can I ask you why you wouldn't have given yourself enough credit?
Because I am learning that my view of humility that I have had ingrained in me, somewhat by teaching, but somewhat by just my own self, is not really good view of humility. Because I think that for a long time I've made humility making myself less.
Yeah, like deprecation almost.
And I mean, I think you hear that, like I did growing up in church, and I think I caught that too, of like, if they say, "Hey, DJ, you're a good musician." Well, I'm all right. I'm not good. And so, like, I feel on some level, and again, it's not from God, but I feel wrong, or like I'm like it's pride, like the arrogance, the vanity, the pride that God tells us is bad, that comes before fall and destruction. And so I heard that, I felt that. And so on a level, it was really hard. It still is hard, but I'm learning that I've got to say those things, that it's not sinful and it's not wrong to acknowledge your gifts and your skills and your abilities, especially when you are acknowledging that God has made you. He has designed you. He has given you a mind for creativity. He's given you a mind, for this. He's given you the ability and those things. So when we're giving God glory, and I think that's the caveat. Like, humility, I think for me now, is more understanding where I stand and where I am under God, right? So he is the exalted one. He is the perfect one. He is the one who has it all together. And I don't, and I need him. So I'm humbling myself under the mighty hand of God. I'm going, hey, you've given me the ability to do these things, but I know I'm not perfect at it, and I can grow, and I thank you for them, but I can say, that I'm good. DJ, it's just been the last year, maybe two, that I've been able to say I'm a good father. Because there was a level, and until someone
Yeah,
challenged me
I don't
on
know if I can
this,
get, dude, I don't know if I can get there
well,
yet.
and right, and until
Like,
and until someone challenged me on this in this way,
yeah.
this is, hey, if you say you're a good father, that does not make you a bad father, right? And if you say you're a good father, it does not, you're not saying I'm a perfect father. I'm the best father. So just admitting that you're a good father is not arrogance. And that's what you're afraid of. And it's like, oh, you're right. And but it's still hard for me. But I look at the facts. I can always be a better father. So I'm not saying I made it. But I am saying that I love my kids. I care about my kids. I'm trying to disciple and teach my kids and help them to grow and prepare them for life now and later. I love my kids, and even though like I do struggle like all of us with selfishness, I try to put the needs of my kids, on a level above my own. Now that's not always what we should do, right? We can't pour from an empty bucket. But so I'm not saying that. But like, so yeah. So I'm a good father. And I think in the church we struggle with this more than the world. I think everybody on some level does, but I think in the church, because we've on some level we've been taught pseudo humility.
Yeah,
That
good dude. There you
humility,
go. Yeah.
that humility is making yourself less. Now, I like what Zig Ziglar said. He said, being selfless is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less.
Yeah, and I would absolutely agree that the pseudo humility that the church has at some point in time started teaching, and maybe it's been all through the generations, we just don't know it, has definitely the narrative comes across as, well, kind of like referencing our total depravity episode. I am nothing. I am like, I'm the scour of the earth, like, excuse me. And I mean, like, are we nothing? No, of course not. Because we're made in the image of God,
We're made by him.
we are made by God in the image of God. And so, no, we can't, it's actually impossible. Like, logically, in what is it, in John 1, it's impossible that we're nothing, because anything that has existed was made by Christ that existed, so all that to say, I don't know when that the narrative really kind of happened. And you're right, Brad, you're right that it's, I think for me, and I don't want to, like, chase the rabbit too far, but I think for me, the part of the reason I don't want to say that I'm a good father is because I don't want to sound arrogant. But I also consider the areas that I know I am not a good dad in,
Go. Keep going.
and I don't want to make sure, or I don't want to convince myself that because I have those areas, I'm still a good dad, so let's not worry about them.
Yeah, and so the same person that was talking to me about their kind of dealt with that same thing. They said, do you think that if you say that you're a good dad, that you're just going to stop trying to be a good dad? They were like, you're not. They're like, I know you. Like, you're not going to do, that's not who you are. And you understand that being a good dad means you got to keep being a good dad.
Right.
You're
Yeah,
not a
that's
perfect
no,
dad.
dude. There you go. Yeah, that's right.
I think we also got to normalize this stuff like this. DJ, you know I don't blow smoke. You're a good dad.
Well, thank you, Brad.
Yeah, you're
And
a
you're
good
a
dad.
fantastic dad.
Well, and so here's one of the things, though, too, that we have to be fair to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because truth, God wants us to be truthful,
Correct.
which means we're honest about our shortcomings. We're honest about our garbage. We're honest about the things that we need to fix or work on or whatever, right? But truthful also means, on the other hand, that we're honest about things that we do well. We're honest, and for some of us, that can be even a more scary side because we've embraced so much the stuff that we suck at
Right.
that we're afraid to own the stuff that we're better at. Again, we're not saying we're perfect at it. We're not saying we're excellent. But let me give you an example. Thinking back as a teenage boy, right? The question came up on Facebook. Would you, as a father, want your daughter to date a boy like you when you were a teenager? Right? And the implication is that we're supposed to say no.
Right.
But I can honestly say yes. Because I was serious about my relationship with Christ, made a lot of mistakes. I watched out for the person that I was dating. I was watching out for her purity. I wanted her to have a closer relationship with Christ. And if she
Right.
was the woman I was going to marry, I wanted to save that for her and give it all to her. So were there times when, yeah, I needed a slap on the back of the head or whatever? Yeah. But overall, yeah, I can honestly say I do hope that my daughter's, because I wasn't the guy that just had sex on his mind. I wasn't the guy that was just trying to get, I cared about the people and I, that I was with
Sure.
and that. So yeah, I do. Now, am I saying I was perfect? By no means. But DJ, a couple of years ago, I don't know that I could have said that if I hadn't have been able to take that step to say, you know what, I can acknowledge, at least in the ways. And maybe that's what you do. Hey, let's not in maybe we just start by acknowledging in this way, I'm a good father.
Right.
Hey, I pick up my kids on time.
Yeah, right.
I make sure my kids have breakfast or and again,
Yeah,
whatever
right.
you do,
Sure.
these are the ways that I am a good father. And again, the fairness is, okay, here are the ways I need to work on as a father, that these aren't the reflections of a good father.
Right.
And be honest about it. And it's crazy. And it's still a struggle, but I can honestly say things too, like I am not good at basketball. I
Right.
suck at basketball.
But
I have
here's but here's
horrible hand-eye coordination.
but here's the question. And this kind of wrap back around, the topic. I suck at basketball. I'm horrible at basketball. But dude, I love basketball.
And see, there's the difference. I don't.
But here's the thing. And this goes again, the original topic
Creativity,
of
yeah.
creativity and what it's like to be a creative. Have like at least a creative spark. Is there anything that in our lives that we love to do that brings us joy in like a unique way? Now, some people would say, well, DJ, you're not talking about creativity, you're talking about a hobby.
I see, like in
I
things,
don't, to be quite
I was
honest.
waiting for the caveat of, and but we're not very good at it. And I was like,
Yeah,
okay,
like I mean,
fishing.
dude, no, Brad, that's not true. You are so good at fishing. You don't catch what you fish for, but you are awesome at doing it. You know,
that's right. It's the catching that I struggle with. I try to be a better catcher. Man, I could fish with the best of them.
You can. I mean, you've got all the right stuff. You know, and when we're fishing for brim in 3 feet of water and you've got that same pole out hoping that there's going to be a 500-pound catfish,
That's right. That's just gonna be up
man,
there
that's
trying to get
own
those
that
brim.
sucker. Yeah.
Maybe one day.
One day, that's right. Because it's going to be that one day where Dad and I, no matter how many brim we've caught, we are not going to enjoy the fact that you caught a 500-pound catfish in the same depth that we were catching little bitty
You know, I do really hope that if that day comes, and maybe
bluegill.
this is a bit of the arrogance and selfishness, but I really hope I'm with both of you
Oh, I know.
in
You
the
better
boat.
be. Yes, right. I will, dude,
And I really hope you've laughed at me that day for using such big bait.
I will
Like,
eat crow for sure. Like, anyways, no, the idea is it's not necessarily like whether it's a hobby, because I honestly think that if someone says, well, DJ, I like to play basketball, but I'm not creative. I'm just gonna, excuse me, how dare you? And the reason I say that is go watch Pistol Pete. Go watch Michael Jordan. Go watch Kobe Bryant. Go watch Allen Iverson, Steve Nash, Jason Kidd. Like, those guys were insane at creativity on the court. Yeah, they were professional basketball players. They are better than you. They are far better than me. But that's not the point. And again, that's why coming back into, just kind of again, like tying things in a nice little bow, I think far too often we get caught up in the, I like to do this, but I'm not any good at it, so I don't do it very much. One of the reasons, and listeners, you maybe I've said this on the show before. If you're new to the show, you never heard me say it. But one of the reasons that I love to play golf is because I'm bad at it. And what I mean by that is this. From that particular standpoint, I know that I'm not gonna hit many good shots.
But you get to
But
play more golf
I do get, oh
if you're
dude,
bad at it. You
trust
play
me when
more
I tell
golf.
you, I get to see more of the golf course than you get to see. Okay? But here's the
Yeah,
thing.
definitely, because I ain't going.
Yeah, well, that's true. But like, I love problem solving in creative ways, knowing good and well, if I try to hit this normal, it's probably going to be a bad shot. Well, I'll just go for it. And oftentimes, believe it or not, yes, listeners, I swear this is true. Oftentimes, I'll actually hit a shot that even impressed me. But the point here is this, that in those moments, I'm not trying to be a pro. Because then I would not enjoy playing golf at all, not even a little bit. But it's the moments of finding enjoyment in doing something that brings me joy. But at the same time, I get to, as I mentioned, I get to kind of problem solve through, here is the normal way to do things. Well, here's how I want to do it. And to me, that's creativity. I experience that at its highest levels. And Brad, I don't have to say this, but I will. I experience that right there at its highest levels when I'm performing. Absolutely. 100%. But I also experience creativity when I'm playing Nintendo with my son. I experience creativity when I'm driving. I love
Don't
traffic.
be too creative
Right,
there.
yeah, I know. But I do. I love tr
Wee! I
I
saw a
love
video of an
yeah.
SUV going like across six lanes of traffic. Didn't hit anything, but was just like,
Like, let's
that's
not
not that
compare
creative.
let's not compare creativity to recklessness, but
There's a fine line.
there is a fine line. But no, I'm serious. Like, I love traffic because I always think, I wonder, like, what's the most efficient way? How can I get through this in ways that other people can't see? And again, what other people can't see, I consider that being creativity. So listeners, I don't know what you do. When this episode drops, we'll have a post on Instagram and our Facebook group page. But let us and let the Men Church Stuff community know the ways that you are creative. You can get like you can respond with a list. You can send in a picture. And
What are
if
you
you're,
good at?
yeah, what are you good at? What is it
Not
that?
you're not saying you're too perfect or you're the goat.
Right. And when we say, what are you good at? if you want to tell us what you do for a living, fine. But what is it that you consider to be something that you are creative at? And understand this. This is the last thing that I'll say before we sign off. What you consider to be your creative spark does not require someone else to affirm that it's your creative spark. Meaning this, that if you were to say, I think I'm creative at this, and someone else says, well, that's not really creativity. I'm sorry.
You know what you need to do then is find you some better friends.
Yeah, find better friends. That's exactly right.
I mean, again, find friends that if you're really not a great singer, aren't going to let you go audition for American
That's
Idol.
Right. Yes.
Like at least without warning you, like, hey, let's just look at this. Like, I just,
because the purpose of the creativity in that sense is very different. Because if you get a comment that says, well, that's a creative way to sing that, that's not necessarily what this episode is talking about. You know, we need to do an episode then on tact.
Hey, listen,
and I'm gonna let you do that one.
Listen, I'm very creative with my anxiety.
Yes, you
are. I am very creative. Like, I can think of the worst of the worst case scenarios.
Yeah, right.
And like almost are illogical sometimes. Like, that's wow.
Like nuclear fallout. No, yeah, no. That's yesterday's news. Brad's got tons of scenarios going on.
Yeah. Yep.
Listeners, thank you so much for tuning into our show. We hope that you've enjoyed spending time with us. We love that we get an opportunity to meet together, to hash some of these things out. But what we need from you is more interaction. We want to hear from you guys. Let us know with this particular episode, let us know about your creativity. What's your creative spark? What is it that you enjoy doing? What brings you joy? What brings you personally? What brings you closer to your understanding of the width and the breadth of the Spirit of God? And the reason I say it that way is creativity, because we are made in God's image, gets us closer to those points. So what is it that you do that you are proud of, whether people like it or not? That's not the point. I will have that post. We want to hear from you guys on Instagram and our Facebook group page. If this is your first time listening to the show, again, we hope that you enjoy it. Check out our backlog of episodes. There's some real good ones. There's some nutsy ones. Keep in touch. Rate and review the show. Share the show. And we'll do the same. So, Brad, I love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
Listeners, we love you.
Later.
We will catch you next time.